The next key story, the story of Turin, is not really connected with Beren and Luthien. It is also mentioned in The Lord of the Rings very, very briefly. When Sam is fighting Shelob, the narrator says, even if the hand of Beren or Turin had wielded the sword, it wouldn't be any stronger than what happened there. So there's an allusion to Turin, but you don't know what the story. Now, Tolkien stole the Turin story from the Finnish Kalevala. One of the subsections of the Kalevala is the story of Kullervo the Hapless, who accidentally, because he doesn't know who she is, ends up, among other things, sleeping with his sister, and then he commits suicide because of this misery. Well, that's basically what happens in Turin. Turin is the greatest of all heroes of men. He has all these wonderful triumphs, and he eventually kills Glaurung, the father of all dragons, the evilest dragon that ever lived. But because a spell has been put on his sister, and he hasn't seen her in many, many years, and she forgets who she is, they end up marrying, and she's pregnant when the dragon then tells him, surprise, it's your sister. And so he commits suicide, and she commits suicide. And this is this tragic tale. Now, Tolkien wanted to redeem that a little bit. In the next lecture, we'll talk about why Tolkien was so big on happy endings. And so even though it was a tragic tale with the death of Turin, the death of Niniel, and so forth, he says at the end, the last battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, it will be Turin who leads everyone, possibly because he suffered more than any other person because of the evils of Morgoth. Finally, there's the Arendil story. And the Arendil story is the germ of all Tolkien's subsequent mythology. The basic question is, where does the evening star, Venus, where does it come from? And I alluded to an Old Norse story where someone's toe freezes and Thor snaps it off, throws it into the sky, and it turns into a star. Well, Tolkien thought there could be a better story. And his idea is that after Beren and Luthien have gotten that Silmaril from Morgoth's crown, the sons of Fëanor want it back because it belongs to them, but it stays with Beren and Luthien's heirs. And eventually, in a second kinslaying, the sons of Fëanor come against the people who have the Silmaril, the elves who have the Silmaril, and try to take it. But the descendant of Beren and Luthien, named Elwing, who's wearing it, throws herself into the sea and is transformed into a bird. Her husband, who is Arendil, doesn't happen to be there. He's a mariner in a boat, and he's off sailing, and she comes as a bird to him, wearing the Silmaril on her chest, collapses on his boat, turns back into his wife. Now, I should say that Arendil is another half-man, half-elf. He's the son of a heroic man, Tuor, and an elf princess, Idril. And so you've got, he's half-man, half-elf, and he's marrying Elwing, who's like three-quarters elf, one-quarter man, going back to Beren and Luthien.